everyone. Welcome to Melville. It is good to be worshiping God together this morning. Today is the beginning of our Holy Week worship services. We begin with the celebratory hosannas, and we move forward in telling the story of Jesus's entry and journey to the cross. If you are following us along through Holy Week, today's Palm Sunday service, and we have a Maundy Thursday service, which is only on Zoom at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday. So exactly the same way you joined today, you'll join at 6:30 on Thursday from the comfort of your own home. If you'd like to take part at the Lord's table, I invite you to have bread and cup ready to go for that, and everyone is welcome. On Good Friday, we'll be joining either in person or on Zoom at 10 a.m. for our Good Friday service. And on Easter Sunday, we will gather only in person at 6 a.m. Outside the cemetery gates for our sunrise service, and 10 o'clock for our celebration Easter Sunday worship, which will be, again, Zoom or in person. You are welcome to join in the way that is comfortable for you. Let's take a few moments to prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning. Hear the story of Jesus's entry into Jerusalem according to the Gospel of Luke. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' they say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, the Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Let us pray. We praise and bless you, ever-living God, for the acts of love and faithfulness by which you redeem the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, our hope, today we joyfully acclaim Jesus, our Messiah and King. Even as the hosannas echo in our ears, we acknowledge before you the times that we have been reluctant to walk in your way. We confess that we have resisted our call to live in community as servants of one another. Our hearts and our wills need your cleansing and restoration. O King of glory, form us in the humility and patience, the kindness and suffering love that reflect your glory. Then shall the world know that you are our God and we are your people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, children of God, hear the good news. Our hope is in Christ alone. He calls us to himself, healing our brokenness and making us whole. We turn to him and he saves us by his grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Because so much of Holy Week is hearing the very familiar story, and it's quite a lengthy story. And there are so many opportunities for reflection. Our service of the word this morning is a bit of a back and forth, and I'm grateful to Diane and John for their leadership this morning. We're going to be reading from John chapter 13. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, you don't have to. It's going to be on the screen. But just know that we're going to be stopping and starting and reflecting as we read this together. We're moving now from Palm Sunday and closer to Thursday as we approach that Passover meal. So I'll invite Diane and John to come forward. Let's hear and reflect on this familiar story together.
Good morning. This is from John chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 1 here. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end.
There are many places throughout Scripture where the word love is used. It's a word that we hear on a daily basis and a word that is defined in many ways and by many different people. All too often we think of it as being an emotion and we forget that it's actually a verb. In this chapter of John, we hear of the practice of foot washing. At the time of the Passover meal, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And this was a little unusual. Typically, yes, there would be washing, but it would be done by a lowly servant, not the host of the meal. Jesus was showing them yet one more physical demonstration of his love that he hoped that they would learn to emulate. In this act, as in others, Jesus demonstrates that love puts others ahead of oneself. In love and in humility, he washed the disciples' feet. Take a minute and picture your own feet. Are they rough? Are they imperfect? Have you had a pedicure lately? Imagine it is at the end of a long, hard day. You've been walking. Your feet ache. You've probably been wearing sandals. They're hot and sweaty, caked in dirt. And now you come before Christ, your beloved teacher, to share in a feast. And he begins by bending down to wash your feet.
The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me."
We want to, and we try our best, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us understand Jesus and his ways. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think we find that we also want to be in control of that understanding. Jesus said, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but you will later." And I think we resist Jesus when he takes us out of our comfort zone. We usually feel most vulnerable and most powerless when we're not sure, when we're uncertain. And these are emotions that most of us try to avoid at all costs. And yet Jesus asks his disciples, and he asks each of us, to trust that he knows what is best. Peter's first reaction to Jesus washing his feet was to say no. Peter didn't like Jesus putting himself in that role of a servant. He saw him as a teacher, as a preacher, someone he admired and respected, not someone who should do servant's work. Peter felt unworthy of having Jesus wash his feet. He probably would have been more comfortable if those roles had been reversed. If Peter had been asked to wash Jesus's feet, he probably would have leapt at that instruction. But Jesus doesn't work that way. He isn't concerned at all with what we are most comfortable with. Instead, he is concerned about what is right and what is best for us. Jesus said, "Unless you let me wash your feet, you will have no part with me." In order for us to have a part with Jesus, we must yield to him. We must follow his example of humility and love. We have to trust his love for us.
"Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just wash my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you."
So at first, Peter is opposed to Jesus washing his feet. Now he asks Jesus to wash more than his feet. But Jesus refuses his request, saying that a bath is unnecessary. As we come to the waters of baptism today, we are reminded that baptism cleanses the whole body, even as we use just a small amount of water on a child or a youth or an adult's head. However, the power of water is not the primary focus of these verses. Jesus enters into relationship with Peter just as he wants his disciples to enter into relationship with him and with each other. As Christians, we have made a covenant, a promise with Christ to enter into relationship with him and with one another. We commit not only to the sacrifice of service, but also to receiving service from others, which is why in our service of baptism, you will hear not only parents making promises of love and care and discipleship, but we as a congregation take that on as well, not only for the child, but for the whole family, to enter into relationship and fellowship with them as we all continue to grow closer to Jesus.
"I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Jesus taught that washing one another's feet is an act that we are to imitate, but also receive or yield to. In kneeling before Peter and his disciples, our Lord assumes the role of humble servant. He asks only that they place themselves in his hands in trust and love. By this action, Jesus gives a lesson of a communal service. The act of foot washing is a self-revelation of Jesus, for he reveals his relationship with God and with us, whom he calls his own. The union of Jesus with God and us is his covenant promise. It is only by accepting Jesus in the surprising roles of both loving host and intimate servant that we receive and understand his love to the fullest. We are called to do as Jesus did, to model our love, whose ultimate expression is the gift of one's life, a love that doesn't know any restrictions or time or boundaries. The closeness of this relationship with God, Jesus, and with one another is beyond words. We are called to trust Jesus and to yield to him as he reveals his loving relationship with us.
We are all so blessed to have this purifying grace offered to us. For we know that only those who are washed by Christ have part in him. However uncomfortable it might be or might make us, foot washing and the example that Jesus sets offers us many blessings. It unites hearts in Christian fellowship and love. It teaches humility and a willingness to serve others. It rebukes selfishness and a desire to rule. It prepares our feet to take the gospel of peace and good news to the world. We are blessed with this same love that led Jesus to die for us, and the grace that sees him rise, that we may have life eternal.
I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you came to us in humility, reaching out to all God's little ones with mercy and compassion. You ask us to do the same. Today we pray for all of those who find themselves in humble circumstances, for the underhoused in our community, for refugees wherever they take shelter, for those who long to be refugees but cannot find a way out, for the poor and for all who find themselves without resources to cope in these days, for those who live in isolated communities, both here in Canada and around the world, for those who lack access to care, resources, and the technology that so many of us take for granted. Strengthen each of us in your mercy and humble us, lest we forget how much we have to be grateful for. Lord Jesus Christ, hear us as we pray for all of those who have been humbled by life's unexpected turns during these years of pandemic. We remember before you those who face illness, pain, and injury, those who are sick in mind, body, and spirit, those who serve tirelessly in caregiving roles. We pray for those who have known death or disaster, fear and failure, for those who struggle with anxiety and uncertainty. We pray for victims of crime and those who suffer through the misjudgment or mistake of others. We pray for those who suffer because of the consequences of their own actions and choices. Embrace them in your mercy and humble us, lest we imagine that we can live our lives untouched by trouble. Lord Jesus Christ, hear us as we pray for those who have not yet learned the lessons of humility, for those who live carelessly or drive recklessly, endangering themselves and others, for those who abuse the trust and power in their positions, betraying those whose interests are in their hands. And we pray for those who mislead others for gain or indulge their fame with no thought for the example they set. Humble them in your mercy and humble us if we are tempted to ignore the consequences of our own actions. As we watch you walk to your cross this week, fill us with humble gratitude that you go before us into any challenge or crisis we may face. Give us courage to stand with others facing injustice or prejudice. Give us words to speak out for those who are at risk at home or abroad. For you have given us the words to pray for the coming of your kingdom, your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. And so we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is truly wonderful to be together in so many different ways to worship God this morning. And while we baptized on the front step out of necessity and out of caution, it's interesting to note that many churches, if you enter, particularly older churches, you'll find that the font is at the entry to the church, because it is through the waters of baptism that we enter into the fellowship of God. The font is on your way out this morning. I invite you to dip your hands into the water and remember Jesus's promises of love and grace and peace as you go. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Remember the promises of baptism. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us this day and forevermore. Amen.